call to order, and the first order of business is to ask everybody to greet the group, identify themselves, and those of you who are not familiar to us, please spell your name and state your affiliation. And what we'll do is we'll start with the roll, and we'll have Andrew call the roll, and then people please respond by saying present, or here, or however you want to say that, and state your name and state your affiliation to the board, please. And I ask everybody, if you're not speaking, please put your microphone on mute. Those of you on the phone, 6-6. If you don't mute your microphone, it soon becomes a cacophony and it's very hard to hear. So with that, Andrew, I will give you the floor with the roll and make it start.
Al Silvestri.
Yes, Al is present. I'm here. I am chair of the advisory board for persons who are blind or visually impaired.
Okay, this is not in any order. Mary Silverberg.
Member of the advisory board, present.
Eileen Akers.
Present, board member.
What is that? Nate Barnes. Just a little bit more. I'm not mixing up SRC with Besby, am I? Nate Barnes? Okay, I'm not hearing an answer.
Yeah, Nathaniel's NFB.
Okay. But he's on this board, right? Have I just confused things?
No, he's NFB. He's not on the NFB board.
Okay, I apologize.
No worries.
I'm sorry. I understand why. Okay. Stephen Farrell.
Stephen Thal, present, member of the board.
Catherine Guzman.
Advisory board.
Randa Utter. Up and say, is there anyone from the Department of Social Services, either Commissioner Gifford or someone representing Mr. Gifford?
Yes, hi, this is Matthew Fazzino, Equal Employment Opportunity Specialist, representing the Department of Social Services for Commissioner Gifford.
Thank you very much. Samuel Pride? All right, so now I'm doing this thing where you can never name, you know, help me out. I do very much apologize. I'm now not, I know I'm forgetting some, Eileen, Mary, Catherine, Amanda. Beth Rival?
Board member here.
And it's 11 people with Matt. It's 12 and plus DSS, but we're at 10. Does anyone recognize if I've left anyone out?
Steve Bamaglow.
Oh, yes, Steve, our newest member. And Steve, that was you saying your name?
Yes.
Our newest member, Steve Bamaglow. I'm sorry, Steve, do you pronounce the G as a hard G in your name? I'm never sure how to say it.
Yes.
Okay. I always want to be more Italian when I say it, but I also want to do it. So Beth, Steve, Eileen, Parkin, Steve, Sam, Jewel, Al. Is anyone remembering anyone I've left out? I'm trying to do this while searching my email. My brain is busting. I think that's it.
Hello.
Who's that?
Hello. My name is Kristen. I'm not on the board, but I am a member of NFB, and I'm also run the support group through Bevy. So I'm sort of connected to both.
So, Al, do you want to now move on to having other people who are guests announce
themselves? Yes, please.
I'm Chris. I'm you. Hold on, please.
Hold on, please.
Sorry.
the phone, please. If you're not speaking, please put your phone or your microphone on mute.
Hi, I'm Chrissy Scrimger. I'm not on the board, but I'm a member of NFB, Vice P of the At-Large Chapter.
Thank you.
Al, if you want this recorded, probably you should ask people to spell their names.
Yes, want it very good.
I'm sorry, this is Amy Porter. Could I just double check? Do we typically record the names of everybody who comes to board meetings that's outside? Because in other board meetings I've been part of, we only record them if they make public comment.
There's no requirement that people identify themselves, actually. If you're a member of the public, you have the right to come to the meeting, and I think you also have the right to anonymity. It's just so that those of us who are here can distinguish members of the board from members of the public. But I will stress that you do not have to identify yourself. It's our preference that you identify yourself, certainly. It's the equivalent to asking people to sign in when they come to a meeting. There's no requirement. But it makes it easier for everybody, and it makes it easier for those who are correcting the record afterwards to know who was at the meeting. So it's your choice if you want to identify yourself. We're asking you to please do so, but you don't have to ultimately.
My name is Jim Cronin, and I'm president of the At-Large Chapter of the NFB of Connecticut. I'm not a board member.
Okay, would you mind spelling your name for the record, please?
C as in Charlie, R as in Robert, O as in Oscar, N as in Nancy, I as in Indian, N as in Nancy, Cronin, James.
Thank you.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, my name is Jim McCollum. That's spelled M-C-C-O-L-L-U-M. I'm also with the National Federation of the Blind of Connecticut.
Thank you.
I'm Sandra Streeter. And I am an NFB member and not a board member, and also I am a consumer.
Thank you.
And that's S-A-N-D-R-A-S-T-R-E-E-T-E-R.
Hi, this is Tammy Parody.
I'm sorry?
This is Tammy Parody. Last name is P-A-R-A-D-I-S. Paradise without the E. And I am board secretary of the Southeastern Connecticut Community Center of the Blind in New London.
Thank you.
If you're able to hear me, this is Nathaniel Whale, and I'll spell it. It's N-A-T-H-A-N-A-E-L, Whale, W-A-L-E-S, and I'm also with NFB.
Thank you.
NFB is
Thank you, Nathaniel.
Hi, I'm Chrissy Scrimger. I don't think you've got the spelling of my name. I'm a member of the At-Large Chapter, and I'm vice president of it, and my name is Chrissy Scrimger. My last name is S-C-R-I-M-G-E-O-U-R.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Yes.
Go right ahead, I'm sorry. Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead, Sherry. Good morning, this is Deb Reed from the National Federation of the Blind. Last name R-E-E-D, thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Paul and Sherry, C-H-E-R-I, Duquette, D-U-Q-U-E-T-T-E, members of the Connecticut National Federation of the Blind.
Thank you.
Hi,
Hi, it's Carol Wedler, W-I-E-L-E-R. Member of
Thank
the
you,
NSC.
Carol. Thank you.
Hi, Kristen Dockendorf. I think I started this whole mess. I'm not sure you got my name, though.
Okay, if you don't mind, we'll just spell it.
Sure. D-O-C-K-E-N-D-O-R-F-F, and then frog. NFC member and BESB support group leader.
Thank you.
Magonic, Philip with two L's, M-A-G-A-L-N-I-C-K. I am vice chair of the SRC and chair of the Stanford ADA Advisory Committee.
Thank you, Phil.
Hey, Al?
Yeah?
There's a pause. So I can admit my my mistake. Is yes. Andrew DiGiudice here? I forgot
Don't
Andrew.
Yeah.
I assume she would have jumped in and scolded me. So I'm guessing.
Oh yeah, I think Andrea would have spoken up.
So I'm guessing she's not here. But Andrea, are you here, Andrea? Okay. Thank you, Al. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
Alan?
Yes.
This is Alan Gunsberg, former SRC chair, current member of the Governor's Workforce Council Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Committee, chairman of the Diversity Committee, and also chairman of the Greenwich Disability Committee, joining the meeting.
Thank you, Alan. Any others who care to identify themselves? Going twice. Going three times. All right, Andrew, have you done a roll call of the Desi staff? You're muted.
I can, if you like. I could jump ahead to set, yes. My name is Andrew Norton. I'm the Legislative Liaison for Aging and Disability Services, and I am present. And then next, whoever wants to go.
This is Zach Moore, Secretary for Clerical at BESB.
Thank you, Zach, and thank you for recording and moderating today's meeting.
I'm Mary Bernard. Oh, sorry. Voc Rehab Supervisor.
Nancy Motherseal, Braille Coordinator.
Chris Lassen, Adult Services Supervisor.
Good morning, everyone. Cheryl Sepulak, Interim Director at BESB.
And this is Amy Porter, Commissioner for Aging and Disability Services.
Thank you, Amy. Welcome, everybody. Our next item on the agenda is public comment. Are there any members of the public who wish to offer comment? Going twice.
Yes, this is Deb Reed from the NFC.
Sure. Go ahead, Deb.
Okay. I would just like to say something that I am really hoping that the Department of Aging and Disability and BESB underneath it would strongly consider a very glaring issue in the blind population, and that is newly blinded seniors in Connecticut, in particular those who live alone. They are suddenly faced with not being able to use their phones non-visually, and it becomes a safety issue as well as an independence issue. And I'm just really advocating for some technology training to be added to adult services going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Deb. Anyone else?
Sure, Nathaniel Mayo.
Go ahead, Nathaniel.
Sure. And thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for your gracious and diplomacy in running the meeting. Definitely appreciate that. I realize that many, certainly speaking for myself and perhaps for some of my colleagues, we're here to some degree to listen, to hear what SB has to say first, and to hear what you have to say, what your priorities for the meeting are. At this point, I think our my comments certainly have been captured for SB in its survey. Comments that the NFB Board of Directors has, or I'm sure the NFB of Connecticut Board of Directors has made, again, our survey responses, and part of which Deb Reed very clearly and glaringly did a wonderful job of capturing. My only suggestion might be is it sounds like we may be presented with information or a plan at this meeting, but perhaps that's your intention. If it is, I might suggest that public comments be reopened after we hear more. That'd be my only other suggestion. Again, thank you for holding this meeting and for your diligence and thoughtfulness.
Thanks, Nathaniel. Any others? Only twice. Only three times. Okay, let's move on to the next item of the agenda then. And that is the current and future status of the BSB Bureau. I'm sorry, is there somebody else who wants to speak?
Yeah, please. This is Christian Takedor.
I had
two things that had come up, and I'm not sure, like Nathaniel said, that it could be that you discussed this stuff anyway, but in the meetings that I've had with my clients of BSB through the support group particularly, and also through different NFB contacts and meetings, there's a couple of things that have come up, and one is, as Deb was saying, many clients of BSB are adults that come into blindness. And there are no Braille services available for adults to learn. And that's, in my book, one of the very big things that I think BSB should offer. I mean, it's an agency for the blind that doesn't offer services to teach Braille to adults. And I just think that's a glaring, glaring mistake. Another thing that I think in talking with, again, many of the people in my support group, is to have some kind of full-time psychologist on board at BSB. That is a position that I don't think has been available, and a social worker is not quite the same thing, and there really are not enough staff member social workers to cover the kinds of problems that a psychologist could cover. With that, I will stop. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, getting back to the agenda, we are at the current and future status of the BSB Bureau part of the agenda, and for this, I'd like to start it off by giving you the floor, Amy.
Yeah, thank you very much, and Al, thank you for calling this meeting. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with all of you. I know there's a lot of angst out there, you know, when you have a somebody like Brian who leaves, you know, obviously he had been in the position for a long time, and I know it creates some angst about what's going to happen and what does this look like. So I appreciate, you know, another opportunity. I know we've done the community conversations and we've been trying to gather information from all of you, but this is just one more, sorry, one more opportunity to speak with all of you. So we'll talk a little bit about some of the positions and where we are with them. I guess I wanted to start, though, with some, sorry, with trying not to cough, apparently, but a little bit of context. So the state, as many of you may know, is facing a really large retirement wave. There are some changes in the way the retirement system was structured so that people are making the choice to retire by July 1st, or else some of those changes might impact them. Sorry about that. I probably should have grabbed water before I started this meeting. There are folks at every agency in Connecticut that, and you know, at all different levels that are retiring. So the concerns and the vacancies are not unique to BSBY. And some of you may know that, but I just wanted to make sure I said that. We're seeing it throughout the state. Aging and Disability Services has been particularly hard hit. Aside from the retirements that you all know about at BSBY, we've lost our HR lead, we've lost our fiscal lead, we've lost a couple of key managers, we've lost about half of our fiscal unit, half of our state unit on aging, and many other positions throughout the department. So the broader context is there's a lot going on. There are a lot of positions that need to be filled. There's a lot of recruitments that are going to be happening, and only so many resources to be able to address those. So we are working on refilling vacancies, but as you can imagine, based on that list that I just talked about, it is going to take some time to rebuild our internal structures as we're starting to try to refill those positions. We have committed, though, to refilling key positions, and I am going to, we've entered a bunch of those into our system already. They're working their way through the system. I'm going to have Cheryl speak to some of those and kind of what they are, and then we'll jump back in again.
Thanks, Amy, and good morning again to everyone. To echo Amy, Al, I appreciate you calling this meeting and giving us the opportunity to be in another conversation with all of you. I think it's important that we continue these conversations and make sure that we answer questions and inform all of you as best we can. In BSBY, and I just did a quick poll this week to get an update from each of the programs in BSBY. And as Amy said, we're taking a look at all the positions that become vacant, working with each of the program supervisors to determine what's critical so that we can work with our HR, Department of Administrative Services, and Office of Policy and Management to get those positions into the system and through the routing approval process. And just to set that context, much like Amy did with the bigger picture, we do, good, bad, or ugly, have a multi-step approval process that happens when we put in for a refill or to create a new position. In BSBY, the hardest hit program is our Children's Services area, and we have requested refills of those positions, education consultants, quality control reviewer, and a O&M specialist. Those are all in the queue for approval. We've had a couple of VR counselor retirements, which have been requested for refill, even further along in the process as a rehab teacher and a rehab technologist. Those have both been posted. We have a social worker in adult services that we're taking a look at. And I'm sure of most concern is, I'll work my way up, our administrative assistant position that Lisa Tangway recently retired is in the queue for approval, and the position to refill the director at BSBE is in the routing process for approval. So that's a quick glance of what's going on at BSBE. Amy? More questions?
Thank you. Yeah, I think, Andrew, do you have anything you want to add to that? And then we can kind of turn it back to Al for specific questions.
Just to loop something in, and Joe gave a good rundown of everything going on, and just to add something, you heard her report where there are vacancies. In case you're wondering, the business enterprise program isn't anticipating any losses to retirement. It's the smallest program in number of employees, it's 6 people. But in case you're wondering why you didn't hear about that, it's because there is no retirement activity anticipated. Everyone there is pretty new, in fact, except for the leadership. And then the other thing I wanted to say, to loop back into something I think it was Deb Reed said, but it was echoed also. And Cheryl spoke of a rehab teacher and a rehab technologist positions that are being advertised for refill. Actually, the rehab technologist position is actually a newly structured position in adult services, which is designed to teach different than the traditional rehab teaching of helping you understand your appliances, helping you set up clothing, helping you run your kitchen, run your laundry, and other things around the house. This new position, which has just been advertised, is to help people learn technology, the modern type of your iPhone, your iPad, to keep up to date with all of this necessary technology, even though you're going or have gone blind. And so, and that's something that Chris Lassen put together at Adult Services. In addition to filling the rehab teacher vacancy, the standard position, we've built another position which speaks, I think, sort of exactly to what Deb Reed and others were talking about. That's all I would add, Commissioner.
Yeah, thank you for that. It's, to me, that's a good example of, you know, why we wanted to, you know, not jump right into, you know, all of the refills right away, but really trying to talk with all of you, do the survey, gather some input, because we are hearing some different things, right? We all know that the pandemic has changed the way we operate. It's changed the way we work. It's changed the way we have our meetings. It's changed the way we operate in the community. It's changed the way we interact with our healthcare professionals. And what we wanted to make sure is that we didn't just go ahead and refill everything exactly the way it always was, but to really hear from you and try to figure out, you know what, where are we going? How do we position ourselves to be successful in the future? What are those key areas we need to pay attention to? So we do appreciate, you know, people jumping onto this meeting and also sharing their information through the survey that was done, jumping into the community conversations that we did, that I know Nathaniel was a big, you know, push behind that one with his state rep. So I think this is a really good opportunity for us to kind of, as we're filling these positions, think about how we want to focus them, how we want to make sure that we're addressing the needs that are out there. So, Andrew, thanks for adding that particular example.
Amy, Beth, I have a question.
Hi, Beth. Al, are you ready for us to take questions? I'll defer to the chair.
As long as you are ready to take questions, I do have a couple of questions. I'm going to take it as a point of personal privilege, so I apologize for getting in line in front of you, Randa, but I'll try to be as brief as I possibly can. What I wanted to ask was, first let's talk about the HR process. I know it has changed and there is centralization going on within the state bureaucracy, and I'm sure that might introduce some hiccups that may not have been anticipated, but could you talk in brief about how the process works from the time a vacancy is, from the time a position becomes vacant until the time it is filled, so that we have a better idea of why if you're taking the time it takes. I know I've heard some comments from the community about how long it takes to fill a position, so if you could spend